episode 3 of season 4 of the Infinite Loopcast. It's all gone a bit Next Generation and all of Voyager, and we've gone to a parallel universe where James has come back to the show. Hello, James.
Evening.
And we're joined by Aaron.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first show that I've hosted for a little while. And James, I think it's the first show you've been on in, what, 2 years?
You're better with times and dates than I am.
Yeah, probably around that. It's been a little while since we've had you on. What have you been up to since we've last seen you, heard you?
The Too Long Didn't Read version would be Sweet F.A. Because I just sit and play games. I was sitting playing games while people watched me playing games for a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm now taking a bit of a break from that.
Bit of a weird experience. I don't know. I don't always feel so comfortable streaming.
It's easy. It's just like talking to people. Pants. Well, no, because you get banned if you do that while you're streaming.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can't stream. You can't, no nipples. If you're on Twitch, no nipples.
What if you wear tassels?
Yeah, you get away with that. Can't have your nipples out. Male or female, you can't have your nipples out. Twitch don't discriminate. If it's nipple, it's banned.
Well, I suppose it's a blank. It's a, you know, a universal policy.
Equality.
So. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically been me. That and tinkering around with everything that I used to do. Just playing games and failing to make them.
I'm pretty sure last time you were on, you promised us you'll have made a game by the time we next time we speak.
If you check my Twitter, my pinged tweet on top of my Twitter thing is that I'll have a game on an Xbox One by sometime next year.
It's a bit of a window.
Yeah, I'm not narrowing it down. It's next year.
Keep your options open.
Yeah, with any luck, it'll happen as well.
it's been a little while since we've done a proper show, because we had Eurogamer. Aaron, you are our roving correspondent that's here from Eurogamer.
He's not the only one.
You were a Eurogamer as well?
I was at Eurogamer as well.
Was there a meeting of the Loopcast hosts?
No, we didn't accidentally bump into each other this time.
No, we didn't. We did last year, didn't we? But not this year. Although, I was only there Thursday and Friday this year.
I were only there Saturday and Sunday, so we wouldn't have done.
Nope.
Like ships that passed in the night.
And so go on then. Very quickly, because it's been a few weeks since Eurogamer, so we won't dwell too long, but overall impressions?
It was like last year's.
Yeah. Indies were the best thing to go and see, in general.
Yeah.
But they always are at these things, yeah.
Queue far too long if you want to see what else.
And most of the other stuff was either out or coming out very soon.
Yeah, so that's another problem with it.
You could queue for, three quarters of an hour and play Destiny?
Three quarters of an hour? You were there on a quiet day. With 3 hours on Saturday afternoon.
Was it? Okay.
3 hours to play Destiny 2.
Three hours.
You could have gone to Game and bought and installed and played at home faster.
That's mad.
In fact, you could have ordered it on Amazon Prime now and had it delivered to you and installed it faster than you could have stood in that queue.
I know I say this every single year. I just don't get it, people. Why do you do this?
Because they're going to play it early. If it's already out.
Yeah, it was already out, I thought, yeah.
I don't know. I contemplated joining the queue, and this is how long ago, basically for a free T-shirt and poster.
Then I
wisened up and realised that in the middle of that little area, instead of queuing to play the games, if you just go sit in the middle and chill out in the middle at Virgin Lounge, every so often they'll come out with big piles of posters and T-shirts and fill two boxes up. So you just grab a T-shirt and a poster and go.
That sounds better.
Or you hang around at the end of the show, especially on a Sunday, at the very end of the show, if any of the stands still have merch, if you're passing by, you're getting it thrown at you.
There's a top tip for getting some freebies.
Yeah, Sunday night, everyone's giving it away.
Did it feel as hollow as last year? Because last year I remember coming away feeling really sort of let down, almost.
Depends what you're expecting. If you're expecting like a big E3 style extravaganza, then you're going to feel let down.
Everyone
if you're just expecting
expect.
Somewhere that you're going to see games and bump into a bunch of nerds like you, You feel at home?
Yeah.
I only go there to meet people. I'm not overly fussy for big games.
At least Nintendo was there this year.
Was Nintendo not there last year?
No, they didn't turn up last year.
Oh, it was Insomnia I played on a Switch app. Yeah, Insomnia. I was playing Splatoon 2.
Although now they're going Switch and going away from their 3DS thing, it wasn't so nice. Because a couple of years ago, they had all the 3DS zones and you could go and street pass and sit and charge your 3DS and meet people playing games on the 3DS. It's quite a nice little chill out zone, meet people, swap ideas, swap street passes. It's good little vibe there. But yeah, this year it's just like any other stand really.
Go and play. Do you not think it's good that they're actually supporting a console that's not a 3DS now though, rather than Wii U in it and going, it's a console.
Yeah.
Well, come back in 2 years for some games.
Yeah, although I don't know how much they're going to support. They are supporting it quite a bit, but
there's games coming out.
Give it a year and see how many games there are then.
How long has it been out now? 6 months.
6 months, 9 months.
And it's had a steady flow of games coming out every month since it came out.
It has.
And not just crappy little ones either. Some fairly decent ones.
Yeah, but they've all been first party, though, haven't they?
Rabbids one.
No, that was Ubisoft. But didn't Ubisoft release stuff on the Wii U as well?
Yeah, I think they kind of stuck their nose up at it to start with, though.
Because didn't it get Watch Dogs or something, or Assassin's Creed, or... It got
previous gen games, I think, but not new games, whereas this is a game specifically designed for a Switch.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how well it does. I quite like one, but for £300, I'm not keen.
I keep looking at them, mainly just so I can play Zelda.
Well, I've got Zelda on the Wii U, and I'm still not playing that. So. Yeah.
It's more fun carrying it around, though. I'm spending a lot of time travelling around on trains now, so.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to have something that I can plug in and play, or carry with me and play, and not have to go, crap, where did my game save go?
Yeah, I've got my 3DS and I occasionally play that, but not £300 worth.
My 3DS is just SNES. All I play on my 3DS now is SNES games.
Actually, I'm still playing Picross Picross 3D second round or something. It's one I just dip into every now and then. It's just something I can quickly have a quick round and do a couple of puzzles on.
Too much like maths, is that?
Well, I've got RPGs on there, but because I play it so infrequently, I lose what the story is, so I can't really play an RPG on it. Unless I've got a set slot each day or each week or something that I can play on it, I'm not going to remember the story, so.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I had that with Dave was ranting about for ages. Fantasy Life.
Yeah, I quite like that. But
it's great game. It's great fun. I have no idea what that story's about.
Yeah. I don't know where I am. I don't even know what profession I'm on now. Because I swapped a couple of professions, but I can't remember which one I'm on.
I think I'm still on my first profession.
Oh, no, I swapped. Because it's good if you can swap, because then you can still gather resources from your previous profession.
Can you? Oh.
Yes.
Well, that would have changed my game entirely.
Yeah, you don't lose your old progression. So when you swap skills, you keep your old one.
Fantasy Life's one of those. I'm quite happy picking it up and then just tootling around for a bit and wandering around thinking, ooh, this looks pretty. And there's my stuff on train, so I get up and walk off.
It is such a good game.
It is, but as we were saying, you need to keep going at it. You need a regular intake so you don't forget what the story is and what profession and everything you are.
I played it. So It's one of those rare things that I actually finish a game, but Fantasy Life is one of the games that I actually managed to finish.
I'll tell you what, if you want to start finishing games, start streaming. Because I never used to finish games until I started streaming. Every game I've played on stream, I've finished so far. Apart from Witcher 3, I'm never finishing that fucking game.
Because it's too big?
No, because it bores the shit out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to set you two off against each other in a minute.
What's the pants off me, does that game?
Why? Go on.
I don't know, it just sends me to sleep. It really does.
I haven't tried it yet.
You've not played Witcher 3?
Nope.
Oh, I just love it.
The fuck's up with you? At least I put it on and tried it. You weirdo.
I think
why did I agree to come back on this podcast? Heathen.
I really liked it, but then again, I did go all through Witcher 2, and I've listened to all the books. Well, a bunch of the books, should I say.
I think I'd like the books more than the game.
Yeah, they're quite good. I quite like the books. It's hard going at sometimes, but, you know. It's not as though I'm really, doing the old Polish version.
No, I don't fancy learning a second language to read a book.
Just to read a book, yeah. But yeah, I've got the audiobooks, so I listen to those occasionally. I've got the latest translation, the Swallow, the White Swallow or something. I've not got that far through that yet.
So here's a challenge for you, Dave. Before next time I turn up on this podcast, and bear in mind it could be a while, you have access to at least two different versions of The Witcher 3. I know for a fact you do. Play one of them.
I will play one of them, but not yet. I've got other stuff.
Before I next turn up on this podcast.
Since that might be next week, we'll consider it.
Yeah. Challenge has been gone. It's thrown down.
I'll tell you what, you finish Fantasy Life and I'll start playing Witcher 3.
What? So you want me to finish an 80-hour RPG start
with
me?
It's not 80 hours. It's not. I finished it much shorter than that. Just the main quest. Finish the main quest.
Mm-hmm. You start playing Witcher and we'll see.
Okay.
So, here's games you should have played.
Yeah.
What have you been doing in all this time? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of games.
I doubt that. This is you we're talking about.
Oh, no. No.
Prove me wrong. I dare you.
And I've been playing some fairly recent games as well.
Bollocks.
I've played Everybody Golf on the PS4.
That's not a new game.
That's a new game.
A new game.
Came out in September.
It's a redesign.
It's not, it's new. It's got golf carts and you can drive around and go fishing in a golf game.
What?
Yeah, you see?
So if I turn my PS4 on, I've got access to this, then, yeah?
No, it's a disc copy, I'm afraid.
God, useless. What sort of Xbox Y for you?
I know. So PS4, you'll find loads of digital stuff in our collection on PSVR. But that doesn't help you. And I don't really buy much else for the PS4. But I have got a disc copy of this. You can pick it up for about 15 quid now, 16 quid.
I might have to have a look at that one then, because I did like Everybody's Golf on Vita. I think it was pretty much the only reason I owned a Vita at one point.
Right, same. And this is infinitely better. And as I said, you can go fishing. I think there might be some sort of surfboarding mode as well, because there's more stuff I haven't unlocked on the main island.
Is this Everybody's Golf or Everybody's Summer Olympics?
No, this is Everybody Golf. Where's Everybody's Golf? Where's the back of the box? It doesn't really show off. It says it's easy to mouse controls, ride golf buggies or go fishing.
It's a Nintendo 64 emulator, isn't it? It's got a golf game. It's got a wave race.
Even better than that, the character designer thing is amazing on it. I mean, you can just build the biggest freaks, which to me is a measure of a character designer functionality. It's brilliant. I'm really enjoying it. It's actually making me turn on my PS4 almost daily to play another hole.
Wow, of course.
Yeah.
That's an achievement, is that?
I know, right? So that has been my sort of daily driver. Get it, driver? And I can highly recommend that to everybody. It's well below par.
You had to pitch in to get that one going, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. Everybody's Golf is brilliant. The next thing I've been playing is a new game, but it's an old game because it's a remaster. It's Voodoo Vince on the Xbox One. I was expecting a bit more of a whoop there, but okay.
What the hell's Voodoo Vince?
Oh my God, you need to look at the Xbox list more often.
No, I know it's on there. I've seen the little icon on my thing because it downloads. Every time you buy a game, it automatically downloads on my Xbox.
Sounds ideal.
No, it's only so big. I've got a little hard drive.
I've got spare hard drives.
So I've seen the icon while I deleted it.
So Voodoo Vince is a fantastic platform that got released originally for the original Xbox.
It's a Banjo-Kazooie-ish.
Ish. Very ish. More Mario 64. More sort of playground levels than Banjo-Kazooie's structured levels.
Right, I have to ask this one important qualifying question now. Does it have ukulele-level annoying voices?
No.
In that case, I'm going to have a look at it.
They're actually voiced.
That's all right, then.
But there are options now in ukulele to disable the voices.
Oh, good. That was horrendous.
Just got no taste. Where was I? You've distracted me now. Voodoo Vince.
Voodoo Vince, come on.
He's really fun. So it's a... you know, it's that sort of
genre. It's a 3D platformer.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking forward to.
A collectathon.
Three-dimensional platformer. Collectathon-ish. There's only about 20 collectibles in each level. And you acquire voodoo powers throughout the game, but they're entirely disposable. So you will randomly... The way you activate your voodoo power is you collect voodoo things, and then you smack the two triggers down together, a bit like using your special in Destiny 2. And then... it executes your voodoo power move. And they're hilarious. There's some really, really funny voodoo power moves. And because you pick them up and use them so frequently, it's a mechanic. You know, normally you sort of keep hold of your special abilities and you don't use them.
Yes.
So you use them the moment you get them in Voodoo Vince because they're brilliant. And you can get them frequently. So it's a really clever little thing, novel thing.
So they're just basically a consumable that you keep picking up.
Yeah. Yeah, you acquire it as well by killing people. So the more enemies you bosh on the head or punch, you get more voodoo power, which lets you kill them in more exciting and fun ways. And it's a really nice little feedback loop.
Oh, cool. May actually have to reinstall that.
It is... I never got to play it on the Xbox. So the moment I saw it came out as a remaster, I was like, oh, brilliant. I'm going to get hold of that. And...
Here's the important question. How easy are the achievements?
They so far have been coming in relatively thick and fast.
Yeah, because I'm definitely going to have a look at that one.
You definitely get achievements per level, and the levels are pretty short. And you get achievements for doing, you know, 10 punches in a row and things, stuff like that.
Okay.
Relatively easy achievements if you're looking for that. And keeping up with the whole I'm playing current games thing, I played Total War Warhammer 2.
That's not a current game. That's a brand spanking fucking new game, is that?
I know. And I've actually played 3 or 4 levels in the campaign as well.
But doesn't it say on here beta?
No, it doesn't say there beta. That's for Battlefront 1 and 2 beta.
Okay.
Where's Dave and what have you done with him?
I don't know, but I'm reveling in the whole I don't complete games thing, which means that I can play more games.
Suppose it does have one advantage.
I've played some Total War Warhammer 2. I played as the Skinks in their campaign to save the world and prevent the elves from using the portal. And it's a more polished version of Total War Warhammer 1, which is probably one of the biggest compliments that I could give a game, given that I really, really, really liked Warhammer 1. And it's the first strategy game that I...
Total Wars are the massive...
Yeah.
RTS type games, aren't they?
Yeah. And it just, why it wasn't a thing before with Warhammer being involved in it, I don't know.
No idea. That sounds like a perfect recipe for a Warhammer game, does that?
Literally a perfect match. So, yeah, that's on. You've still got access to the Steam library, so that's on our Steam library.
Cool.
So, give that a razz. I think I might even have a spare code for Warhammer 1 lying around somewhere.
Right.
So, look, if you enjoy Total War, or if you enjoy Warhammer, you should definitely, or strategy games, you should definitely be playing Total War Warhammer 2.
I may have a look at that one, then, because I've got some time on my hands.
Well, I've got more things to talk about that would fill your time, because not only have I been playing games that have only just come out, I'm playing games that aren't even out yet.
Yeah, that's not a game in that one. I know what you're going to say.
Beta.
Yeah.
I've come off a high now. I'm talking about Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look. Battlefront 1...
Peaks and troughs. Sorry, podcast will come back eventually. Go on, bore everyone for a bit.
Battlefront 1 was perfect, in my view. It was an easily accessible shooter that lets you dip in, dip out, play as often or as little as you want, and you would still be on a roughly even keel with everybody else. Which meant that it was really fun, and it was exactly sort of up my alley.
So, here's the important question then.
Yeah.
How badly did they fuck it up getting into Battlefront 2?
They listened to everybody.
Oh, that's bad.
So they Battlefront 2 plays much more like Halo and Call of
that's
Duty.
That's better saying that. Halo, it's alright. Halo's a good game.
Don't get me wrong. It's a very good game. But the reason the Battlefront 1 was so brilliant is that it wasn't Halo or Call of Duty or Destiny or any of these other games that already exist and have their own PvP feel. It was its own beast, and it was better for it because it felt fresh, it felt different, it was something else. And this now just feels like I'm playing a Star Wars shooter instead of playing Battlefront.
But wasn't the big complaint with Battlefront 1 that it didn't actually feel like Battlefront to start with? Because it was so small.
The biggest complaint with Battlefront is that there wasn't enough progression, and you know there weren't power-ups and things like that, and leveling didn't really matter because you just got different action cards, but they were just sort of a special thing. And that's what actually made it brilliant. The whole point of Battlefront is that anyone could pick up and play it and have fun and be half decent at it. Battlefront 2, it took me several rounds to learn the ins and outs of how to play and what to do and how to do it. And maybe that's because it was in the beta and it was very poorly explained what the cards did. But it was a horrible user interface in terms of, you've got loot crates now, which I'm starting to get bored of. But you've got loot crates.
That's a damn shame, is that? Because you're going to be seeing a lot more of those.
I know. And the loot crates are okay, but you unlock stuff that's just not relevant. And then you unlock stuff that's super relevant. And it's just... Oh, it didn't need it. It was fine. They could have just introduced... If they had done Battlefront 1 as it was, but actually added a full campaign mode, then I would have been super happy. In terms of how they've gone now, I'll probably still get it because I want to play the campaign. And as a campaign game, I'm sure it'll be brilliant. As a multiplayer shooter, I'm going to carry on playing Battlefront 1.
Can I make a suggestion to you then?
No.
Vote with your wallet.
Oh, I am. I was going to be getting the Imperial Edition on the Xbox One, but...
No. That's not voting with your wallet.
No, I'm not doing that.
Voting with your wallet would be just wait 6 months until they've given it away on EA Vault.
Yep.
EA Access.
That's exactly what I'll play my 19 free hours, whatever it is, on the Xbox One.
10.
Yeah, I think you get 10 multiplayer, 10 single player.
That's not bad.
I could be wrong. You definitely get the free trial. I'll do that, and I'm not going to be purchasing it, so save me some money. The other stuff I've been playing, because I haven't played enough, apparently. I played some PSVR games. I played Nog and Static.
Right. Static's good.
Hell are these games?
So Static is Aaron. You explained Static really well. You were the one who piqued my interest. Go on, explain Static to James.
Static is it's a puzzle game. It's a puzzle box. So you've got both your hands stuck in a box, and inside that box is a PS4 controller. Okay.
Yeah, so, how are you so far?
So if you move the or press the buttons or move the triggers or whatever on that PS4 controller, things on the outside of the box move.
Okay.
So you've got to figure out what to do with that PS4 controller inside that box to make the outside of the box do what you need it to do.
So it's like playing like the old Lights Out game where you press one button, certain things happen, and you have to press other buttons to get a sequence going that'll turn out all the lights, for example.
Yeah. But this is to move things around, jigger, make circuits, move sliders about, make pipes work, that sort of stuff.
That just sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, I would describe it as like the Room games on the iPhone, except you can't see your hands and see what you're doing.
Can you play that without the VR headset?
No, VR only.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
It doesn't really need to be VR, though.
That's what makes it so fucking depressing.
Correct, because it can track the Move controller, which is all it's doing.
Yeah, so as long as you've got a camera, because obviously you need to rotate.
The only thing I would say...
You don't even need that, because if you just rotate the PS4 controller...
I guess
it's
would...
It's got built-in motion detection.
So the only thing that I would say in terms of why it's in VR is that you can lean your head left and right and look down the side of the box and see what's going on, which in certain problems does make it more intuitive to solve, but not essential to solve the problem.
Well, you don't need to, because you can rotate the box, though.
Yeah, but sometimes you need to see two panels at once.
Yeah, but you still only see the same bit. Depends whether you're rotating your head or...
Sorry, and those other times, so the tutorial puzzle, when you press one of the buttons, the corners pop out?
Yeah.
And you need to be able to lean in to see where the screw positions are or where the hole positions are.
I didn't, I just moved it. Because you can rotate the box while you've got that happening.
I didn't, I just looked at it.
Okay. Although you do have to look around the environment.
Yeah.
Because
being in VR, it is more immersive, just as a blanket thing.
So that's my dinner ready that I'm not eating.
So that's static.
That's static. What's Nog? Because the name sounds more interesting than all else.
So I don't know if it's Gnog or Gnog or Nog. Nog. But it's basically an interactive virtual reality toy game. So you get given a almost sort of Where's Wally-like scene, and then you can start twiddling dials and pressing buttons and things happen. And do you remember Hohokam?
Vaguely.
So it's one of those sort of you just play it games, but it doesn't really have a point games.
Oh, yes.
It's one of those. But because it's in VR and the audio and the art design and everything else is really, really great, it's very compulsive just to carry on pissing about in it.
So it's an experience rather than a...
Correct, yeah. A toy experience, I'd say. But it's very good. If you've got, if you ever do manage to get hold of a VR headset, it's something that's worth experiencing. And I don't know if Sony funded the development or not, because it's, as far as I'm aware, it's PS4 only. PSVR only, I should say. But I haven't touched my PC VR headset for a while, a couple of weeks. But I have
send it to me then.
No, I still use it. As in,
you said you haven't used it for a while. A
couple of weeks. No.
Don't be going back on this now. You haven't used it for a while.
Maybe if you're lucky. You're not going to be lucky.
I
played some Overwatch this afternoon. I've decided that I quite enjoy it on PC, but I still really, 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 really hate it on console.
Why?
I can't get on with the control pad on the console.
It's a first-person shooter.
It's not a general thing. It's the first time I've ever had it that I can't get on with a control pad in a first-person shooter. Just can't do it. I keyboard and mouse, and I'm fine. I'm very happy playing Overwatch with keyboard and mouse. And it's the Halloween mode is quite fun. I've also managed to finish Life is Strange Episode 1. Finally.
Oh, blimey.
Just episode one, no spoilers.
Steady on.
I was going to say, I thought you meant the whole of Life is Strange, the first one.
No, but I am going to, so something magical has happened.
Let's be fair, I'll be totally honest, you're further on with Life is Strange than I am.
So, and even weirder, so Life is Strange, Claire wasn't in the room, so I used the big TV to play Life is Strange. Claire walked into the room and goes, oh, what's this? I said, this is a video game. This isn't a video game, she said. I said, it is. She said, but you're not shooting things. I said, no, I'm not. I'm playing an adventure game. Claire said to me, what's an adventure game? I said, it's like an interactive story. And she was like, yes, but they're women. And I said, yes, they are. This is one about life in college, and she's got magic. Claire said, oh, that sounds interesting. and she sat down next to me and we played it together.
I'm sorry, I'm having flashbacks to Dave Gorman at a minute because you sound this...
Yeah.
...in image of him when you're doing that.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You sound just like Dave Gorman doing his Google whack comedy routine.
His what?
Go to YouTube. Awesome. Look up Dave Gorman, Google whack.
I know, Dave.
You will have an experience.
Okay,
I'll go. It's worth watching.
He's a funny guy. I've seen one of his shows.
Yeah. I've seen the Dave Gorman show.
It's called Dave Gorman, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have a look at this other one that you suggest. So we're playing Life is Strange together. So it is something that I will definitely finish because it seems to have replaced her nonsense TV at the moment.
That's good. That's very good.
She doesn't like the rewind mechanic, though. She calls it the cheating.
Yeah.
I've explained to her that it's not cheating. It is merely a game mechanic. And it, in fact, at points, the game requires it.
Well, you have to.
Teleport, yeah. So she's kind of starting to accept it, but she doesn't like it when I use it to change decisions that I'm just frankly disappointed with.
No, that is kind of sucking. Actions should have consequence.
Yeah, they do, though. Yeah, for episode one's fine, because I think episode one, I spent ages getting what I exactly wanted. Then in episode two, it gets a bit more complicated, because you cannot please everyone in episode two.
So I haven't got exactly what I wanted in episode one.
Oh, okay.
I have accepted that there is one decision, which I don't know if I should really go into, but there is one decision that I made that I'm aware is a bad decision, because frankly, there is no way it could possibly be a good decision.
Oh, okay. And you kept it, did you?
And Claire and I have agreed that we're going to let that one slide and we're going to see what happens.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah. The one that really interested me, because I was explaining to her how, like, the butterfly effect could happen in the game, was the one with the skater
near
the start of the episode. So she was like, oh, we'll obviously go back and, you know, if we're going to cheat, we can go back and repair him so he doesn't fall off the skateboard. And I was like, oh, but maybe if we repair him, you know, in the next episode, he might get run over by a car because he was crossing the road. Like, you don't know what's going to happen because of the consequence. So that got her thinking.
But yeah, actually, if you don't actually make him fall off the skateboard, don't get him to do the trick so he falls off, then you don't get the relationship with the skaters.
Right, so that's the way it affects the episode.
Yeah. And also, did you speak to the artist under the tree?
I did speak to the artist. Daniel.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I missed him the first run through.
No, don't forget, this is me playing Aaron, and I speak to and poke and try everything.
Yeah, I missed it. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can easily miss and just go straight by. So yeah, it's quite interesting that. Yeah, obviously, does she watch Walking Dead? Because Telltale Games.
So that's slowly, Catchy Monkey.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start off with Life is Strange and then we'll find something else.
Is she a Game of Thrones fan?
No, she finds it too depressing.
Fair enough, and probably don't start with Game of Thrones. But Wolf Among Us would be an interesting one.
So that's one option. The other one I thought could be quite good would be Back to the Future.
Yes, or now that episode 4's out, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, she's not such a Marvel fan.
Divorce her.
Or you could just go...
She doesn't like Marvel.
Divorce her.
You go for Beyond Two Souls. You got female protagonist. It's a story-based
game. Wow, second game, and then you're going straight to David Cage.
Yeah.
That's going in hard, is that one? That might get Dave divorced.
we'll go slowly, but yeah, so that's been a revolution in this house.
Yeah, just to say that the Before the Storm is actually in our Steam library.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Does it feed off any data from the other game?
No, because it's a pre... It's before the storm.
Okay.
They are doing a follow-on, a Life is Strange 2, effectively. But they haven't said whether it actually has Max in it.
Okay, I don't... I'm genuinely don't want this story ruined for me because I've somehow managed to avoid spoilers for this.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, no. I'm just saying that they're planning to have another one because the Before the Storm isn't by the same team.
Okay.
It's in the same universe because it uses some of the same characters. It uses... I don't know whether you met Chloe yet. Oh, no, you will have by the end of the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chloe was like the last third of the episode.
Yeah. So yeah. So she, it's her and the missing girl in the... is what the Before the Storm's about.
So
Rachel.
It was my... So then, there you go. You've given me a spoiler-free way of explaining it now. It was my decision with Chloe's situation that we weren't happy with.
Oh, okay. When you were hiding.
Correct.
Yeah, neither one of those is perfect.
No.
So you've got to.
That might kind of be the point.
I chose one, but I'm not happy with it. So we'll. Okay. See, I feel like there should be another way of doing it that I can't quite figure out. So we've just accepted one of my ways.
Okay.
Which was, yeah. Anyway, I can't talk about it.
Okay.
You've done quite well not talking about it so far.
I think so. Skirted around the issue quite delicately. James, what have you been doing?
We've covered this. Playing games. Failing to make games. Streaming.
No. What games?
Oh, what are you on specifics now?
Yeah.
Well, bear in mind I've been streaming for like the best part of a year, so I've played quite a few games since I last on. As you can tell by the fact that list of games that I've played has got longer and longer and longer as this show's gone on.
Let's go over the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Last 2 to 3 weeks? Well, Destiny 2. Because why not? Everyone else did.
Because why would be my question.
Because Destiny's a really, really good shooter. It's got awesome mechanics, and it plays really, really well, and it feels like Halo. It looks generic as fuck, and bland, but it feels really, really good.
It does have a good feel. Here's the problem. Destiny 1, there was the whole novel aspect to it that sort of pulled it through for me and made me want to explore the worlds a bit more.
Yes.
Destiny 2, because I know where this is all heading in terms of going back into a grind loop.
Yes.
Just got no urge to experience it more than the first tutorial level. I'm at the farm. I've established myself at the farm.
That's entirely fine.
And then I'm good. I've got no...
My suggestion? Yeah. Play to max level. Call it complete.
Okay, how long does it take to get to max level?
8 to 10 hours, tops.
That all?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not going for light level, then...
It's just like a Call of Duty campaign.
Okay, I'll play through it.
Just play through it, starter. Just witness the starter.
You're playing it on Xbox, aren't you?
We're playing on Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've played through that, and I've leveled a little bit, and I keep logging in, like, once or twice a week, and just... running around, shooting some stuff, and getting a bit of gear. No, I'm not particularly grinding at it, because I'm never going to finish a raid in that game. So, there's no point. It's just fun running around, shooting stuff for a bit.
Yeah, I can accept that. I just still don't see the massive kerfuffle with Destiny.
Not as good as Destiny 1.
Right, because it's not novel.
Yeah. Destiny 1 had a bigger impact. Destiny 2 is like, yay! More of it. Looks prettier.
It's like getting a snack-sized bar of Dairy Milk after you've just eaten a 10-kilo bar of Dairy Milk. It's more
10 kilo is a snack-sized bar.
Not of Dairy Milk.
You think I'm not joking.
Fed up of it. 10 kilos is that's a lot of dairy milk.
It's a nice amount of chocolate, is that? I would be happy.
Yeah, I don't think I could have that as a snack.
Yeah, quite comfortable. You're talking to someone who can quite happily go down to Dunkin' Donuts down the road, buy 6 donuts at 12 o'clock and have one left by 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, doesn't sound ideal.
I'm a little bit of a sweet tooth.
What possibly gives us that idea, James?
Yeah. It's one of those things.
Come on then, we're going to move on from Destiny 2,
because everybody else is doing rapidly.
What is No Victor Vran?
It's an answer to when you typed in, guess what, the second Destiny? Question mark. The game's called Victor Vran.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's not called No Victor Vran.
Hold on. Sorry. I apologise for my grammar. No, comma, Victor Vran.
Yeah, well, it should still be called No, comma, Victor Vran. I mean, Aaron's played a game called A Normal Lost Phone and Another Lost Phone, Laura's Story. So, No Victor Vran was fairly normal after that one.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that one. Victor Vran is kind of like Diablo 3.
Okay.
Except for you're playing as a guy in a leather vest with the very much Liu Kang hat on from Mortal Kombat. You know, the little metal rimmed hat. Liu Kang, the other guy throws. Run around with a big hammer. Smash stuff. Or a shotgun.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it is. Fighting against forces of evil. And it gets even better. It's even better because there's a Motorhead version.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Victor Vran Overkill Edition, where you run around and everything is set to the songs of Motorhead.
Oh,
it's fucking awesome.
Is that free DLC?
No, that's paid DLC. Do you think they're going to be giving Motorhead songs away for free?
What's this on?
This is on the Xbox, Dave, so don't worry.
Xbox on.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, that's like a Diablo 3 game, but it's actually really, really cool. You can turn camera around, which is even more fun, and jump. So it's like Destiny 3 with added controls. Not Destiny 3, God, that'd be going forward. Diablo 3.
Now with added controls.
Yeah. And story. Good funky story.
Yeah, I'll get this installed. And it's multiplayer?
It is. The only time I've played it has been co-op.
Fantastic. Get this installed.
Yeah, I think it's up to 4 people.
Sounds good enough to me.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. Come on then, Aaron. I've alluded to A Normal Lost Phone and Another Lost Phone, Laura's Story.
Yeah, they're little Steam games. I think they're available.
Oh, they're 2 games?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've got one quick question. Are they visual novels?
No.
Thank God for that.
Not really.
No, hold on, that sounds like a caveat.
I think you can get them on Android and stuff. Effectively, the story is you find a phone on the street and you use it to find out what the story is. So effectively, you've just got a phone interface and that's your entire interface.
I could abbreviate that story. If I found a phone on the street, it'd be straight out of Cash Converters.
But yeah, the idea is that you look at the messages and everything on the phone.
Isn't this like Her Story, investigating through?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Okay, that actually sounds kind of cool now.
Basically, you're investigating what's happened and what's going off and why are these people, why is this person just suddenly disappeared and what's happened to them and that sort of thing. So that's the first one's quite good. Second one's the first one's got a couple of numbers you have to work out, so passcodes and things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first one's not hard, not too hard. But then there's two other codes. The first one's guessable, and the second one's just why anyone would. I had to look it up because it was just ridiculously off the wall. The second passcode you have to find, it was ridiculous. I couldn't work it out, and the reason I couldn't work it out is because it doesn't make sense as part of the story.
Not related to anything in the story. Really.
Oh, it's related to something in the story, but it's related to something in the story that happens after this code would have been generated.
That makes total sense.
So, yeah, I don't know.
But so, it's a bit of an oversight thing, really.
Yeah. But I'm hoping the second one, another lost phone, Laura's Story, is better, because it's by the same developers. I think the first one was £1, and the second one was £2.50 or something. They're not expensive games. But yeah, and the second one's the same thing, but it's just a different story with a different phone. It seemed to be a bit more interactive, a few more options there. So they've obviously taken the mechanic from the first one and then just added extra ones for the second one, added extra icons and stuff, and then written a whole new story behind it. So
upgrade from Marshmallow to Nugget then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. But yeah, I haven't finished the second one yet. I'm partway through it. But we'll see how well it goes.
I'm assuming those are PC?
They're PC, but as I say, I think they might be available on Android or iOS.
Okay.
Seems like they'd be better played on a phone. Because it's, exactly like controller.
Well, I'm playing on a touchscreen tablet on my Windows tablet, so it's perfectly great playing it like that. So yeah, I can imagine it working fine on the phone, because obviously it's emulating a phone. So
God, that's an Inception type thing.
Yes. So you're playing a phone game on a phone. Yeah, I haven't found any games on there yet, so that's something they could have added, a little mini game.
I'm just looking to see if it's on iOS now.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was on Android at least, but yeah.
A normal lost phone puzzle game, $2.99 on iOS.
Okay, that's more expensive than Steam, but maybe I got it on a discount. Maybe it was on discount, that's why I got it. But yeah.
They don't have. Is there a wish list on the new version of iOS?
I don't know. I want that operating system off that phone. I want that layout on my iPhone. It looks kind of cool.
But yeah, I've been playing those. Just have a lunch hour. Mess about.
Hour?
Yeah.
A full hour?
I get a full hour.
God, I can tell you work in an office.
For an hour. What
else? So what do you do when you're not on your lunch hour then? And I mean outside work, not, work. What other games do you play?
I've been playing a couple of games I saw at EGX. Trax, which is a wooden train track simulator.
I missed that one.
It was right when you first went in. It was just on the left.
Okay, I didn't miss it. I walked past it half a dozen times then.
Yeah. It was exact right on the left. It was looking back on yourself when you went in. So it was the first set of stalls on the left, but the first one looking backwards. It's a wooden train track simulator. It's good. It's early access, so there's only a few missions in it so far.
In everything nowadays.
I know. It looks quite promising. Basically, at the moment, there's only passenger missions. There's no freight or anything. So it's going to add more environments and more freight. Basically, you've got an open world, sort of a flat plane world that is your free mode. You just build a track to your heart's content and just.
Oh, so you're building your own tracks.
Yeah. You're laying down whatever tracks you want and and driving your train around it.
Well, that sounds cool. If it were just train simulator with a wooden train, that sounds less interesting, but no, you lay your own tracks.
Yeah,
on.
You lay your own wooden train tracks, and it looks like wooden train tracks, and yeah. And then there's a modern living room at the moment. They're the only two environments, is a wide open space and a modern living room. And the modern living room has a passenger thing. We've got to pick up some passengers from various locations around the room and drop them off at stations around the room. So basically you've got to lay tracks to get you to pick up the passengers and then over to the station. And you've got to deliver them to the right station.
That game sounds ideal.
It's
to be for AR rather than VR.
Yeah.
Put it in AR, so just sit in your own front room building your train track.
Yeah, you could do. Yeah, that's a perfect thing for, yeah. If you designate a couple of flat areas where your passengers can arrive and your stations can be and that sort of stuff, and then just build your track round it, round your room. Be great.
That does sound really cool.
For your iPad. The new, what's it called? Arc Kit or something. AR Kit.
Can we edit this out of this podcast and, you know, we'll quickly get to work.
Yeah. What was slightly disappointing was there's no VR mode. Because it would have been great to drive your train in VR. I'd just love that. Obviously, it's a lot of development for just a silly little driving train game.
I'd imagine Train Simulator is going to go for that.
Yeah, I'm sure all your train simulators and all that are going to go. But this would be lovely, just to tootle along in your wooden train set. Tootling around the room. But yeah, it shows promise, but yeah, at the moment there's not much there.
The interview for this was fantastic. It was a really great interview. I listened to that on our EGX coverage.
Yeah, it's quite good. Yeah, so was the next guy. Vostok Inc.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy for that is, it's great. Great guy. Basically, we didn't have it interviewed, but he just said, yeah, do you want to interview us? And we did. It was a lively guy. And it shows in the game. It's effectively a twin stick shooter.
Okay.
You've got your spaceship and you go around shooting aliens, shooting asteroids, and landing on planets. And when you land on planets, you can spend your cash, your moolah, because that's what it's called in the game, on building stuff. And effectively, it's a clicker game. So while you're on planets, it's clicker. So you spend your money to build things and upgrade things that make money quicker. So your planets make money quicker. And what they do is they then buy you upgrades that you can then add to your ship that lets you kill the aliens quicker.
So it's a cross between Venture Capitalist and Asteroids. I'm sold.
Yeah,
so I sign up.
It's great. It's quite. I think I can't remember how expensive it is, but I think it might. It's another one of these. I think it might actually be an early access. I could be wrong. But it's
$10.99, and just to break the fucking trend, it's an indie game that's not in early access.
Blimey! It's also coming out on Switch, I believe.
I could
be wrong.
I might end up buying a Switch.
I'm just for that. Getting a Switch in February.
I thought you were start.
So
you should have been around for a conversation earlier.
So that's on PS4 and Vita as well.
PS4 and Vita.
Ah, I saw it on Vita.
It might be on Xbox. I can't remember.
Is it cross-buy?
It's cross. No, I don't think it's cross-buy on PS4 and Vita, but it is cross-play. It does take your save between the two. What it doesn't do is Steam saves. Which is really annoying.
It's annoying.
Vostok Inc. is available on the Xbox.
Cool.
Is the train one available on the Xbox? What's the train one called again?
Tracks.
Is that available on the Xbox?
I don't think so. It's still on early access on the PC, so I don't think he's got that far yet. Because I'm fairly sure that's a one-person dev team. Although I think Vostok Inc. might be as well.
Was Vostok Inc. in the left field, or were it?
No, it was just behind. Was it behind? It was on the left hand side as you went in again.
Square Inc.
It was before Square.
Alright. Yeah.
It wasn't in the Excalibur, because we did loads of interviews with the Excalibur guys, which is where Trax was.
Yes. I think I remember where Vostok was now.
Yeah, it was a couple of. It was only about two rows in.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's too many indie games when you go to EGX.
There's loads.
Not enough time to play more.
I know, and there's loads of good ones as well.
And the res dates have just been announced as well.
Oh, I can't do any more conferences.
When's res?
April. Mid-April.
next year?
Yeah, and I'm already looking at maybe seeing if I can squeeze in a LaveCon next year.
A what con?
LaveCon. It's a Elite Dangerous thing. It's a con all about Elite Dangerous.
Sorry, I know this don't come across the podcast, but I've got a raised eyebrow now. It's like, what the hell goes on in an Elite Dangerous con?
Loads and loads of panels about Elite Dangerous, about aliens. The dev team turn up. There's a LAN room. They do VR demos of Elite Dangerous and yeah, loads of stuff. The Elite Dangerous RPG guys will probably be there. Track IR guys. Yeah, there'll be loads of people. And they do panels and board games and all sorts. I think they did some LARP last year as well.
Board games? Elite Dangerous board games? Or just general board games?
General board games, but there is a Elite Dangerous ship battle miniatures in development. They've just released Elite Dangerous RPG game. Spider Mind Games, I think the guys
like
are.
Like a D&D type.
Yes, like D&D, but for Elite Dangerous. Okay. It's all kosher. It's all signed off by Frontier. They've approved it all, and it's they were at the Frontier Expo the other week.
What would a spaceship version of D&D be? Dungeons and Dragons build it like?
Oh, I've played loads.
I don't mean like the games. I mean like the name, like Dungeons and Dragons, spaceships and.
Oh, okay. Just, I don't know. Spaceships and wormholes?
Didn't quite have the same ring to it, does it?
No.
So I'm just trying to get in corner market here and get that name copyright. Yeah.
I'm going to say Traveller was the first space one I ever played. Space thing.
Sorry, you piqued me interest now because I'm about to start doing a Dungeons and Dragons campaign with a bunch of people.
Okay. No, I'm just reading through the manual for Elite Dangerous Roleplay. And, I'm thinking, I wonder if I can get somebody to run it, because I don't fancy running it at the moment. But I'd want somebody to run a game for me, and then maybe I'd do a game after that.
Don't look at me. I'm about to do my first ever DMing session for Dungeons & Dragons.
Fifth edition. Okay, I've never played fifth. I've done fourth.
I picked up a starter set for it, so I've got like the basic bit. It's the basic rules.
Okay. Now I've got all the rules for Pathfinder. I've got all the rules for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay.
Well, I picked up Pathfinder because it were on Humble was on Bundle.
Humble. So was Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. That was on Humble Bundle a while ago.
I missed that one. Pathfinder's on there. Like been on there recently.
That's where I got all mine from. And I've got all my Warhammer. I've got the original Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay book as well, because I used to run it back in the day. I've got some old D&D 2nd edition books as well, but nobody wants to play that anymore.
If you want an obscure one, I've got, I know because I bought it by mistake, an old Buffy the Vampire Slayer RPG.
Okay. No, I've never played that. I've played Vampire the Masquerade, and I think I've got a couple of clan books of that. I haven't got the original... Yeah. Rule book.
Never played it. I bought the book thinking that looks like a cool notepad. Does that at a Buffy convention?
Yeah.
I think because it's just got this nice little red foil writing up front of it with a really cool pattern. So that looks awesome. Does that? I'll buy that for sketching.
And then realised it was full.
Yeah, it's not cat sketching that. It's got an RPG game in the fucking middle of it.
Yeah.
Should realise when he told me the price and I paid for it, but no, just went straight over my head.
So I need to look at that and maybe run a game or maybe convince somebody to run a game for me. So I guess if I say you run the first game and then I'll run the second game.
Yeah, you run first one. Let me get my head around it and then I'll take over.
You understand all the rules and show me some of the basics and then I can run a game as long as I know all the rules. But just piecing all the rules together from reading the book is, a little harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, that's about all I've been playing. I did buy Snake Pass. And
Did you give him that a go?
I've given it a go. It
sounds interesting.
Oh, have you not seen it? It's sort of a platformer where you play a snake. And
you can't jump, don't you have to climb up everything by wrapping yourself around it?
Yeah. And grip matters, and if you don't wrap yourself around something, you don't have the grip to stretch over to reach another post, or you have to weave around stuff to actually get speed up and things.
It's got a concept that intrigues me.
It does. The controls are a nightmare to get used to, though.
Yeah, that part doesn't intrigue me.
Yeah. I wasn't getting on with the controls. I finished the first introduction level, and that was nice and easy. But
I like my new desk. I don't want to put any dints in it with my controller just yet.
Yeah, no, it was really frustrating. I'm playing it on the PC, though, with a Xbox One pad.
Well, I'm glad you're not playing it with a mouse and keyboard. That sounds hard for yourself.
No. But even so, it's, you know, placing the trigger for this and X for this and left book. Yeah, it's just, I'm sure if I played it long enough, I'd get used to the controls.
It's like an octopus fingers kind of thing where you've got to hold six buttons down to do all.
Well, no, but you've just got to remember which one's which, because you've got to do it instinctively. So if you're starting to slip, you need to automatically know which button to press to raise your head or to curl in tighter or whatever. Because if you press the wrong button, that's it. You've ruined
just
everything.
Going
you go the wrong way, yeah.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. I think I'll have a look at that one at some point then. I'm not sure. I think I might have a copy of it on PC. I'm not sure.
I think it's on consoles as well.
I think I've seen it somewhere. It's my Steam library. It's still like a game of Pokemon.
Oh, I know. I've slowed down.
You gotta slow down eventually, because there's only so many games on Steam.
No, there's not. There's an unlimited.
Don't you start. Don't you start.
You know my view.
Oh. You sort of back. You go back to your MMOs.
I've missed one. Shh. I've missed a game.
One game on Steam, but apart from that, you played.
No. Silicon Zeroes.
What?
Silicon Zeroes.
Explain yourself.
That sounds like a plastic surgery.
No, it's a
but
game.
Not actually implanting up.
It's game based around the start of Silicon Valley.
Okay.
It's a startup company making CPUs. Or not.
Is this CPU Tycoon?
Sort of. It's a puzzle game.
You talked about it. Maybe you've just told me about it when we're on the phone.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I haven't talked about it on the show, I don't think, but yeah, it's nice. Yeah, you have to make CPUs.
Actually design.
Yes.
Cards and chips. Oh God.
Well, sort of. It's the you basically plug these logic boards together effectively. You wire them up. You effectively solder them up.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting. It gets quite complicated when you're getting further on in the game, and it takes several micro ticks for numbers to stabilize. So you've got to work out what your tick rate is, what your write rate is. So how many ticks, micro ticks, to wait before you write an option down, before you actually you do a write. Because
I'm not gonna lie. That didn't even part my fucking hair.
No, I've got no idea what you said either.
So, yeah, it's quite complicated because, yeah, it gets really weird where you're saying, right, actually, that's an unknown number until it passes 5 ticks. Then that stabilizes, but that waits 10 ticks.
James.
Yeah.
He's talking a foreign language now. I swear he's talking a foreign language. Can we get some of those Google earbuds that translate for us?
It's good. It's really, really tricky. It gets really complicated.
Yeah.
And you really do feel like you're actually building CPUs with, you know, step rates and ticks and cycles. But yeah, it's good. Good. I need to go back to it and actually spend some more time on it, because it got really complicated and I was really tired and I just couldn't couldn't think anymore. So, yeah, I must go back to that and play a bit more of that. But, yeah, it's quite good. Quite good. You play a woman that nobody else would hire because you're a woman in electronics, so...
I'm not coming around on that.
It sounds like the sort of thing that I could get my head around, but...
Well, it's in the Steam library, so feel free to have a go.
I'll just be over here playing World of Warcraft again.
It's Aaron Snake Pass.
Yes, we've just talked about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I need to give it a go. Is it on the Steam library, or is that...
It is in Steam, yeah. So, yeah, it's quite fun. It's quite fun. As I say, it's quite tricky to get... You need to spend some time getting your hands used to the controls so that they're instinctive rather than you have to think about it. Because if you think about it, it's already too late and you're slipping off the perch.
One second. Dave, turn your fucking Xbox off and stop playing with your Halo 5 rec packs.
I'm just simply unpacking.
Turn it off.
No, I need to do this because I've got the daily pack. Mm-hmm. Doing admin.
Yeah, my watch is going nuts.
Why?
Because Fleshy says, I sent you a gift rec pack in Halo 5 Guardians. Launch the game to go to requisitions.
It gave me a free one to send to you.
Uh-huh. Concentrate, man. Concentrate.
I am concentrating. Because we're going to talk about what the hell has happened to your games list on the page. It's suddenly, like, gone up 20 times in games.
Did you not notice that as we were talking? And as I said, it had got longer.
You weren't
listening at all, were you?
I saw the top line, not the second line.
Oh, you didn't notice me had LNR wet, Spec Ops the
no,
line.
LNR was thought, there, I like... saw wet. I started to see Spec Ops, and then I tuned out because you were typing.
I've been busy. It's like yesterday alone, I completed Gone Home, Lair of Fear, and then started Dead Island.
Gone Home, you can finish in 12 seconds?
52 seconds.
I thought there was an achievement for doing it quicker than that.
No, 50 less than a minute is the achievement.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking the robot game. What's the robot game called?
No
grow
idea.
Gone Home.
The first time I played it took me 10 minutes because I accidentally stumbled onto one of the things in it. And it's like, I go in here. Oh, hold on, what's that? Ooh, here's a key to something. I go up there. Oh, look, there's end of game.
Yeah.
The fuck? Oh, well. Yeah. And then I went and looked, and there's an achievement for doing it in a minute. So I did it in under a minute and got another achievement. Yeah. Don't take long. It was under a minute, strangely enough.
But you don't get... Yeah, but the whole point is you're supposed to actually deduce all the different stories to your satisfaction.
Couldn't give a shit. I got 2 achievements out of it, and it took me less than 15 minutes. Got 200 points. Less than 15 minutes, I was done by that point.
What could you want in life?
The mystery gift that you get when you play... right. The only reason I started these games was because with the Xbox Games Pass, if you get achievements in 2 of the games that are part of the Halloween fun thingamajig, they give you a mystery gift. So the more games you get achievements in, the better the mystery gift that you get. But you've only got to get 1 achievement in each game.
Okay, I was going to say, I could have told you several achievements easy to get in Gone Home.
52 seconds to finish game. It's not going to get much easier than that.
Well, no, you could just take the duck up to the loft.
That's an achievement.
Yeah.
I might play Gone Home for a third time then.
Yeah, there's a space in the loft when you first get up there for the Christmas duck to go in.
Ah, in that case, I will be playing it for a third time.
So hang on, just explain to me. So if I do the 14-day free trial of the Xbox Game Pass...
Mm-hmm. Do you not get access to it now that I've subscribed to it?
Oh my god, is that a thing?
I hope so.
Please hold.
Yeah, there's actually going to go to the right. You just... Don't turn it back on, you just turned it off.
Yeah.
Oh, good god.
Mate, if that's a thing, I want to know about this. Right.
You're never going to see him again.
You're certainly not going to see me on a PS4 again.
Don't know everybody's golf then, no?
Oh yeah, there's that.
Yeah, there's that. So I've also managed to play Spec Ops The Line for the first time ever.
everyone loves this game. Tell me about Spec Ops The Line, because I've never really seen what's so special about it.
Do you know what happens at the end of the game? Have you heard about it or had it spoiled for you?
No.
Then my response, the only things I'm going to say to you is play the game and play the game. Just go through the game. If I tell you why I enjoyed the game so much and why I thought the game was so good, it spoils the entire thing. Kind of game.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
The actual game is fun?
Yeah. I was streaming this and having a great laugh streaming it.
Okay.
I think people watching it were having a great laugh watching it for my reactions as well.
All right, I will...
L.A. Noir, I finished that as well.
Ooh.
Just in time for him to announce they're going to fucking remastered it.
L.A. Noir.
Bastards.
That was a fun little game. I only ever got through the first 2 hours or so of it.
L.A. Noir was annoying because I couldn't do the lie detection.
Yeah, that would have been tricky. I'm not going to lie, I failed miserably on some of them. Some of them were all right. Some of them were a bit... It's like, are you lying? You don't move? You can't tell you. Your face isn't moving. If you wait till they remaster it, though, because they're about to relaunch it, or release it again in HD.
Is that not out yet?
No, not yet, I don't think.
Okay. I'll give that a go when that's out.
And then there's the cultural phenomenon that is PUBG.
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 And PUBG, you're playing on PC because it's not out yet on the Xbox?
I have no idea, but I'm playing on PC because that's where my mouse and keyboard are.
Makes sense.
Yes, makes a lot of sense. You've not played PUBG before, have you?
Have I talked to you about my views on PUBG?
No.
Ugh.
Have you talked to somebody that's listening about your views on PUBG?
Yeah, I mean, so Sai tells me that I'm an idiot and that I should really be playing this game because it's the best thing since sliced bread. I've got a funny feeling that you're going to be telling me something similar. And Mike,
wrong.
Who you played with before, also tells me that it's brilliant. But go on, what are you going to tell me?
If you like a game where you can spend 20 minutes walking around, picking up stuff, and then getting shot in the back of the head, it's the best game on the planet.
I don't think I'd enjoy this game.
There you go then. It's you've got to play it to appreciate it. It's that kind of game. And you will either love it or you will hate it. You can spend games where you will land somewhere, get shot, done, you're out. That's it, you're over. So you just leave, start again. Or you can play games where you will wander around, picking up loot, never see anybody. You'll get down to the final three people. You'll see somebody walking past, and your heartbeat will go fucking nuts because it gets tense and the pressure's on because you could get that chicken dinner at the end of it, or you could whiff and then just get shot with a shotgun in the back.
So you could get a chicken dinner at the end of it?
When you win, the thing that comes on the screen is win a chicken dinner.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing with chicken dinners on the internet at the minute. It's the big meme going around.
It is indeed. On Reddit, it's all the rage.
Yes. So, yeah, it's...
Bitcoins and rolling.
I'm assuming you know what Battle Royale is.
Yes, I do. I've got Fortnite Battle Royale is installed on the Xbox.
Have you played that?
No.
That's fucking awesome.
I've got it installed because you told me to install it.
It's like PUBG with Minecraft.
Man, that sounds quite cool.
It's better. Don't get me wrong. There's a whole thing with Epic and Bluehole where they assume that one may have ripped off the other one slightly and pissed off the other one and pissed on its bonfire a little bit. It's fine. But the Fortnite version of PUBG is something spectacular.
Well, it is installed.
I'm tempted to install it on the PC.
Yeah, any format. It's great. You can be running around, somebody starts shooting at you, middle of the field, I've got no cover. Fuck it, I'll build a wall.
Well, it's on the PS4 as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on everything. Or alternatively, you've got the thing of, ooh, this guy over there behind a rock. He's not seen me yet, but I can't see over that rock. I'll build a tower.
Could you mine through the rock?
Yes. You can literally, if half, pretty much everything on the map's destructible, apart from the ground.
Yeah, I need to play this game. This sounds much more like Minecraft. And do you respawn, or is that it?
No, it's one and done. But once you're dead, you can just leave and go back and start again.
Just start a different game.
You don't have to wait till it finishes. You don't have to sit and watch until that game finishes. You're dead. All right, I finished whatever. Back out, start again. Back into the party bus.
Okay, I need to I need to give this a go. I'm going to get it on the PS4 as well as the Xbox. I mean, I'm okay with everybody and everything.
It's free. It's the best price.
That is indeed the best price.
So you mentioned cryptocurrencies as well a minute ago.
I did, yeah.
Have you seen what I've added to end up running harder? There's a new cryptocurrency coming out. It's a guy on Twitch called The Fiend.
Yeah.
Who is launching a cryptocurrency. Yeah. If you pay him 5,000 whatevers, $5,000, he will tell you why this currency is going to be so valuable. However, there's a catch.
Go on.
The cryptocurrency that he's launching isn't decentralized. And it's not on a mesh network. It is all pre-mined.
What?
And it is literally the currency in a game that he hasn't made yet.
What? Why is that even a thing?
Because it's a thing. He's well-known and famous and has a following. Some would say a cult. Who will happily throw money at him when he does something. And apparently people are buying into that.
No.
So yes, watch out for that. If you decide to get back into cryptocurrency.
I'm very much back in cryptocurrency, but...
I thought you might be given prices like doubled recently.
Yeah, but it's really tricky. Well, Bitcoin's really tricky at the moment.
Really? It's generally going up.
Yes, but the most of the coins are gone. So getting new coins is really hard.
Well, the hash rate is very, very difficult, but I own 1/5 of a Bitcoin, so
$900
or something now.
Yeah, but at the moment, it's actually more expensive to power the miners than you get for mining.
It's been that way for a long time. Unless you're willing to throw out a stupid money on some ASICs box to do it.
Yeah, so everyone now uses, I think, the S9 miner. But it uses so much electricity that it does make you money, but you've got to set it up in certain ways to try and make it slightly more efficient to do it. In other words, it's not for me.
I can think of a better way to make money.
What, go to work?
Oh, loot crates. Loot crates. They're all the fucking rage.
I know. Everyone wants a loot crate.
Make a crappy game. Cover it in loot crates. Job done. Retirement.
Sad, isn't it?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, no. I hate loot crates. Especially, it's now gone to... It's gone to the government. Like, the government would be forced to make a reply to the whole loot crate kerfuffle.
To what?
So you know that there was a campaign, or there was a court case, where the Financial Services Authority, I believe, were asked to review if loot crates were a form of gambling?
Are we talking like actual loot crate loot boxes, or are we talking like the CSGO lottery bullshit with Syndicate and his mate?
Just the whole industry, so Overwatch, loot crates, everything, and the fact of being targeted at children, you know, therefore there's no way to control it, therefore it is inherently gambling, la 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 la.
Okay.
And the FSA said it's not gambling.
Yes. So, wise people.
Victory for common sense on that one. But then the internet got upset that they didn't get their way, so they did one of those e-gov petitions where you can petition the government to debate something.
Fuck, what? Hold on. They said it won't gambling, so people got pissy about it.
Yeah. Was this
organised by Mumsnet?
Possibly the Daily Mail. Let me just go and get the facts, and then I will give you the...
Well, no, we don't do facts on this podcast, do we?
We don't need...
When did
facts.
You start doing facts?
No, we don't, you're right, we don't do facts. Although we don't have review scores either at the moment, which is probably even more upsetting. There you go, online petition forces government to respond.
Did they respond with just a double bird going, fuck off, we've already discussed this?
No, do you want me to read you the government reply?
Is it long-winded and full of mumbo-jumbo?
No, because the government haven't replied, but the questions were... So basically, from what I can see in this article, Daniel Zelchner, Labour MP for Cambridge, has submitted two written questions on behalf of Reddit user, la la la. He's been asked to ask the Secretary of State for Digital Culture, Media and Sport what steps they plan to take to protect vulnerable adults and children from illegal gambling, in-game gambling and loot boxes within computer games, and to ask the Secretary of State what assessment the government has made of the effectiveness of the Isle of Man's enhanced protections against illegal and in-game gambling and loot boxes, and what discussions they have had with the Cabinet colleagues on adopting such process protections in the UK.
I can imagine what that discussions are going to be. Do any of you understand what the fuck this lot are on about?
No, I know.
Not got a goddamn clue. Can we do what about it? I ain't got a clue. Do we know anyone that can? You've got a 13-year-old son, haven't you?
There you go. Many video games... This is the petition. Many video game companies in recent years have introduced mechanics which are essentially gambling, of which are targeted at children and vulnerable adults. While not currently considered gambling by law, they do copy many traits to make them as addictive and can lead to real money being lost/earned. Gambling in video games mostly involves loot boxes, where players use virtual currency, often bought with real money, to earn in-game items often worth less than what they paid, and sometimes more. Hence, it's gambling.
Does the National Lottery have a no purchase necessary clause?
Oh.
Do William Hill have a no purchase necessary clause?
No, but you can't get loot boxes without purchasing the game.
But if you don't purchase the fucking game, why would you want loot boxes?
To gamble with them.
Well, yes. Dota, in particular.
The Dota's a free game.
Yeah, but also people...
More so.
People
free
who
gambling,
don't...
gambling, James.
Yeah, people who don't...
people gamble for free anyway.
Yeah, that's how they get you. They give you free money to gamble with.
I don't see games as gambling. I can see it as a competition.
Okay, so here's my problem with it. I get that it's gambling. I can understand their point on the gambling thing, but it's no different from MMO mechanics where you open a chest and you don't know what you're going to get inside it.
Well, it's the fact that it's for real money. You can spend real money to get these chests that then...
You see, technically, it's not for real money. Because the profit isn't there. Because in the terms of service and all the agreements that you make when you agree to play the game, it very clearly states these items are not to be sold on the internet.
No, but you...
These items have no real-world value. It's all there in the agreements for the games. People still do.
Yeah.
No, I'm guilty of buying fucking gold in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but yeah, so effectively...
It's not...
What you're saying is that while you paid real money for the loot crates, the items you get out of them have no value, so therefore it's not gambling.
You're paying for cosmetics in a game.
It's the fact that they have implied worth. Yes. The fact that they have rarity and the like, they have implied worth. So one thing is worth more than the others. They're not worth actual currency, but they have some worth.
Is it gambling if it's not?
It's not gambling, but it does use the same triggers that gambling. So it will trigger the same responses that gambling does, which is why it's... people are arguing that it should be covered under the same laws.
Does that mean Candy Crush should be covered under the same laws? Because yes. Candy Crush is a
very possibly, yes.
Correct, it does.
You've got to pay to progress in that game quite often, unless you grind the crap out of it.
Although that's not gambling as such, is it?
No, Candy Crush, if anything, is more...
They use the same psychological triggers else to encourage to spend the money to try and get that, milk you for that. It's the same psychological warfare on the consumer.
It's the same as The Simpsons Tapped Out or Cookie Clicker.
Or any of these free-to-play games, really.
Yeah, it's that core gameplay loop. So
I
get Aaron's point. It's an interesting one. I don't think it's proper gambling. I think it's an abusive psychological mechanism, but I don't think it falls under gambling, which is a very specific form of psychological addiction.
It depends if they offer an in-game store.
How do you mean?
As in the fact
it's better if they're offering an in-game store?
No, I mean, can you convert things to real money?
Right, like, if you can convert your items out into real money, that bullshit. Fuck that bullshit all the way out of the fucking systems.
Because you can on Dota, can't you?
You can on Team Fortress 2 as well.
Yes.
You can sell items on the marketplace, can't you?
Yes. So there, I believe it.
Not a fan of that.
There, I believe it probably is gambling. Because those values, those items have actual monetary value. Because they can be converted into money. They may say they're not worth anything, but that marketplace says they're worth something.
Right.
And it is their marketplace.
Well, it's a bit like Bitcoin. It's not inherently worth anything unless people attach value to it.
Yeah.
I suppose the same is true of money, full stop.
Well,
Now you can see why it's a whole kerfuffle.
It is a kerfuffle. Mm. But it's not gambling.
Yeah. In the strict sense of terms, it's not gambling unless you can convert it back into money.
Yeah.
But it is something that maybe should be regulated.
Do you really want in-game loot being regulated?
Well, no.
I want it taken out of a goddamn game.
At least regulate it to 18s only games, maybe.
There's no such thing as an 18s only game.
Well, okay, an 18 certificate game. I know parents don't pay any attention to what the sticker says on the game box, which is ridiculous, but yes.
There you go, little Timmy. You go run and kill those Nazis in Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah.
Well, that's getting its own controversy. I just noticed before we started recording on the show, people are getting upset by the marketing for that game.
I'm not surprised. I saw that. Literally, I didn't see the video. I saw the first frame on the video on a tweet where it just wouldn't play the video because we were in a bad signal.
Right.
I looked at it and went, ooh, that's not going to go down well.
It's
they're just playing on the whole punching Nazi in the face thing.
It's. Why is that controversial, though?
It's advocating violence.
But to a Nazi...
I'm not getting into this on a podcast with you, Dave. Okay. I am not getting into this on a podcast with you. It will end in an argument.
I do get the whole.
I am not saying before anyone takes it the wrong way. I am not saying that I support Nazis in any way, shape, or form. But I do not advocate walking up to somebody and punching them in the fucking face.
Right. I do
for any reason.
I do get that. What if that person was a verified Nazi?
What right do you have to punch them? Why would... Or alternatively, why sink to their level?
Yeah. Well, because they'll kill you if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I do get it. I think if you look at it... But it's, again, in my mind, it boils back down to the whole video games aren't real. They're games. And they shouldn't necessarily reflect the genuine reality of the world.
It's supposed to be escapism.
A bit like killing a prostitute in Grand Theft Auto, as the famous example goes. I don't think you can necessarily draw that analogy that doing that is.
Can I ask you a question, Dave?
Is a genuine
serious question. Would it be more realistic to you and more controversial if it was done in HDR on an HDR screen so that it seemed more realistic? I'm putting a big tenuous segue in there onto a different point in this thing just to change the conversation.
John.
HDR, come on, you put it on fucking running order. High dynamic range, displays, screens, mass market, why not? You asked the question, provide the answer.
I was enjoying our debate about killing prostitutes, but HDR, I don't understand
Look,
why
Jack,
it's not reached.
If you want to go off and rip, you do that in your own time.
I don't understand why HDR hasn't reached mass market when all it is lighting levels. Like, it doesn't seem like it's a hard technology to implement at all. There's an HDMI standard and there's lighting levels.
No, there's lots of HDR standards. That's
I thought
the
there's
thing.
One now. No, I thought there's now unified.
There's at least two that Apple are making popular.
Go on. What are the two?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the fucking call. One of them's done by Dolby and one of them's an open standard. Did you not watch the Apple press conference?
I did not watch the Apple conference, no.
What do you do with your time?
I play that massive list of games that I told you about earlier and run a business. And have.
So what do you do with other 8 hours a day you got spare?
With what spare time?
You know what time you're supposed to be sleeping?
I don't sleep. Sleep is for the week.
Basically, Apple, in the Apple TV, have announced that they're putting HDR into it, so they're using the Dolby standard.
Right.
And there's an open standard as well.
I think they call it Dolby 10.
Something like that. Well, they won't call it Dolby X, will they? Because that'll just be confusing marketing.
Well, because it's Dolby... HDR standards. Let's type it up. But yeah, there's I know there's lots. What's that? What's HDR 1000?
So now you're starting to see why it's not reached mass market. Yeah.
No, I'm not, because so here's my thing. There may be lots of standards, but the underlying technology is exactly the same.
However, here's the problem. Here's your problem, Dave.
Pixels getting brighter. Yes.
When Mr. Sony decides to make a TV, Mr. Sony has to come out with another TV 6 months later that is better. So this month you're getting 3D. Next month you're getting 4K. The month after that, you might start to see HDR.
Yeah,
They've got to hold back some stuff to put in the next generation.
But also, not all HDRs will support. Not all tellies that do HDR will support all HDRs.
God, that's going to fuck over some PlayStation news.
It's been a massive problem. If you go on Reddit on the PS4 Pro Reddit thread, one of the most common things is HDR's not working with TV. I just get a black screen and la 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 la.
Yeah, so if your telly doesn't support the same HDR as your PlayStation,
PS4 Pro, yep.
Then yeah, you won't get HDR.
Not a very PlayStation Pro, then, is it really?
Weird.
Professional would expect shit to work. Thing.
I get it if it's a video standard, i.e., it's the picture quality or the pixel density or resolution. I can understand that. When you're just talking about making things get brighter and darker,
yeah, but it's how you
HDR
pass.
Is.
No, but yeah, but it's how you pass that data from your PlayStation to your telly.
It should. It's a digital standard. It's an.
No, it's not. It's yes several no. digital standards.
But they're still digital. They're still yes or no.
No, they are packet-based data. That if you put the packet a different way, it means different things to different tellies. Maybe 26 means one thing to one telly, and 26 means a different thing to a different telly, because they're using different standards.
Speaking far too sensible to me.
Because also, different standards also have different dynamic ranges.
Easy way to think of it, Dave. It's like putting electricity through a motor. If you put it through one way, it might go around where you want it to go. If you do it slightly differently, you're either going to blow the fucker up, or it's going to come backwards.
Yeah, I get it.
Until people agree on what the standard is, it's like HD DVD versus Blu-ray. until the people speak and say, this is the majority standard, this is what most people are using, it won't go mass market.
Right.
Same as 4K TVs. Slow to catch on, because nobody uses 4K. I mean, if you bought a 4K TV a year ago, what the fuck are you watching? You can't watch Netflix. YouTube's compression. Not really 4K by the time you get it off YouTube. So unless you're buying UHD DVDs, you're not getting out. Whereas now, you got your consoles coming, more of your films are in 4K, so it starts to catch on more.
Yeah, I get 4K as a standard now. I still feel like HDR shouldn't have taken as long to catch on as it is. And my biggest point with it is, why is it not available in monitors yet? Why is it requiring the same sort of scalability? Like, I understand why not put...
A lot of monitors do similar things to HDR. They have the contrast ratios. They have the change rates.
Right.
It's just not called HDR.
If you buy a good monitor, you don't particularly need HDR. To run it on a computer, because a computer is capable of doing most of that stuff without...
But you do if you want to plug your console into it.
Yes.
How the fuck did you plug...
Yeah? Jake,
yes.
Agreement with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but most monitors don't... Or monitors, they don't support...
It's not designed standards for using a console.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the alternative, Dave. If you've got a monitor that is capable of looking like an HDR TV connected to a PC that's capable of running games, play the fucking games on the PC. They're cheaper, they're going to look better, and they're probably going to be in 4K. Actual 4K.
Yeah,
not 4K.
Me and Aaron have this debate. Getting it to run on 4K is very expensive in the first place. Because you need a 1080, and a 1080 by itself is about £600.
No, you could get 4K out of a 1070.
Just.
You could get 4K out of a 1070.
Yeah, but you'd have to scale down the graphics. You couldn't have them on high or ultra. That's the medium.
Compared to what you're going to get on a fucking Xbox or a PlayStation 4, what's the difference? It's still going to look better on your PC.
I don't think it would on an Xbox One X.
Well, if you've got 1070. 1070 is equivalent-ish to Xbox One X, if not more. Yeah. And if you've got your CPU there as well.
Yeah, I mean, my
CPU... Because bear in mind, we are up to i9 processors now.
Yeah. They are £1,800, but they do exist, I agree.
If you want that sort of quality, there's a way to get it.
Yeah.
Console gaming is not it.
The other way of getting it is paying £450 and getting an Xbox One X, which is what I'm not doing. But if I were going to be buying a console for the first time ever since the N64, what console would you get now and why? Yeah, and you have to go console. PC's not an option in this.
I'd go PlayStation.
Assuming the X is out.
I'd get a PlayStation Slim.
Okay, talk me through it. Why would you do that, and what does it give you that the other ones do and don't?
Well, it's just a nice, cheap console that has some nice JRPGs on it.
Okay.
I like how you've rephrased this question from what you wrote down.
Nah, I'm going to bring back the other part. You just carry on.
I'd tell people to buy a Switch.
That would be your recommendation. Switch.
I'd recommend a Switch.
Interesting.
I really would. It's got,
yeah, no, I fully understand why you're saying that.
Indie games are on there. It's got smaller games on there. It's simple to use. If they don't know whether they want a console that can plug into the TV or something that can carry around with them,
yep.
It's both. It's the jack of all trades. And if they've not played since N64, they're going to remember Nintendo games.
Yeah, if Nintendo is their platform, then maybe, yeah, Switch is the way to go, because that has the Nintendo characters they recognise. See, okay. I didn't do Nintendo for a long time.
I think even for people that come in from, like, a PlayStation 1, it's going to a console now from, like, PlayStation 1 days, if you ignore an N64 and say PlayStation 1 were out at the same time, it's a big difference now in way you use stuff. So yeah. I just think a Switch would be easier to get people into.
Yeah, but the problem with Nintendo is that it is very Nintendo.
You mean friendly and fun?
Well, and Nintendo, yeah.
There's always a drawback.
Yeah, you haven't got the JRPGs. That's my, because obviously that's a big one of my things is the big RPGs.
Mm.
So that's why I wouldn't go Switch personally. I can understand why people would, especially going if you like Mario, if you like Zelda, it's a perfect platform.
For a generalized gamer.
It depends what you're into though, because if you're into first person shooters. All right, that sort of thing, then.
Let's say you just want to play racing games, F1 games, and sports games. So literally, bog standard, middle of the road audience.
Then you're buying a PlayStation or an Xbox, and it doesn't particularly matter which one.
Yeah, if you're just buying the FIFAs and the CODs, that sort of game.
You're
talking about a new gamer who doesn't even have friends. In terms of online gaming, friends.
Buy a cheap one.
Buy the cheapest. Because you don't care about the quality, so you just get a cheap one.
Yeah, but what about then having access into VR and stuff like that?
They've just come back into fucking gaming from not playing since N64.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What the fuck are they looking at game in VR for?
Because VR's the new cool.
No.
Baby steps. No. Don't overwhelm them.
So you say...
Bear in mind, I know people that quite happily look at VR and go... I ain't ever fucking touching that. VR is an amazing piece of kit. It's a wonderful piece of technology. It could change the world in 20 years. As it stands now, it's got a long way to go. Not many people are that interested in it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I think... I was watching the Oculus Connect this week, or last week, whenever it was. And what they're saying that the Rift and things like that and PSVR aren't going to be the ones that change everything.
No, it'll be when it's compacted down into AR glasses that will.
Well, no, it's the mobile platform.
Yes, you want it to. Wireless free, but you need it as glasses so you can see the real world, it might be.
Well, that's AR then. You're talking AR, not VR.
Yeah, but as I said before when we've had conversations, you can generate a black screen in AR. So AR could be VR.
If they support that, yes.
Don't have arguments over fucking semantics.
Yes.
Stick to the subject.
Mixed reality. Let's use Microsoft's term.
No, let's not.
That's Microsoft going, we can't decide what we're doing. We're doing everything.
And nothing really good.
Apparently the Windows VR headsets are pretty good.
Yeah, they just don't support anything.
You mean nothing supports them, yes.
No, as in they come out with a brand new standard and go, we won't conform to anything that currently exists.
That's like Oculus.
Although they are working with Steam on the standard.
Yeah, trying to make Steam...
How the fuck are they not working with Xbox?
Because Xbox don't have a standard.
Yeah. I'd be very surprised if Windows VR doesn't come to the Xbox One X at some point in the near future.
When they stop supporting the Xbox One, then I suspect it will go. Because at the moment, everything has to be compatible, doesn't it, with the original Xbox One?
Yeah.
Yes.
So therefore, when they stop supporting that in a few years' time, then I think VR will go to the Xbox One X.
Mm. Speaking of supporting things, did you see the a couple of things on like Microsoft and Sony sort of stuff? Fortnite, just going a bit full circle, accidentally forgot to turn the Switch off at some point.
Did see that.
And had PlayStation and Xbox people playing on the same servers at the same time.
Yeah.
And recently, much more recently than that, a certain Mr. Phil Spencer basically called out Sony and says, so, do you want to explain why you're not going to do this whole cross-platform play with us?
Because they're winning.
Do you want to give us a public statement?
No, of course he's going to say that. He wants them to do cross-play. Because at the moment, people are going PlayStation because their mates are on PlayStation. If crossplay works, they'll just pick whichever one they prefer or whichever one they can get cheaper at the time.
I just like the fact that he's actually just sat there going, come on then, step up, pour up or shut up. I'm calling
him out. Yeah, he is, but Sony have got no urge to reply. Also, the other problem that Sony have got, or the current thing that they're complaining about with it, is that on Minecraft, which is their biggest concern, that you can't choose your voice channel, so they don't have control over what poor innocent children will be hearing on their headsets. But only in Minecraft, they don't really care about any other game.
Apparently.
But Switch are allowing it. Oh no, but Switch
Nintendo
on.
Nintendo are allowing it. Yeah, no, Nintendo allow cross-platform play.
Yeah, but they don't have headsets.
No, but you can hear what everyone else is saying, I believe.
Okay, that's a bit weird.
Yep.
You can hear what they're saying, but you just can't reply.
Yeah, you got to use the Switch app. I mean, the Switch Online is just a mess, but...
Yeah.
Back to the point, what console would you recommend, Dave? Because you almost got out of that.
So if it was someone who's just playing racing and multi-platforms... and just wanted to buy one console and have the best possible experience and do everything like that, I would say go for the Pro or the Xbox One X.
Ooh. That's a bit of a jump in, though, isn't it?
So if you basically what you're saying is, if you're just coming back into it after a long period of time off...
Yeah, go for the best you can afford because it will last you the longest. You know you're going to have fun because you want to play games and games are fun. It doesn't matter which one of the two platforms you go for, I agree with that. And just go for the best one out of the two that you can afford.
So go balls deep.
Yep. Go big or go home.
You see, I'd have thought if you're just playing the main titles, you're probably not playing enough to warrant the spend.
Yeah, but I think if you're going to... I think they're more likely to have a 4K TV than not these days.
I can tell you're from London.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't have a 4K TV.
You've got a 4K monitor.
I have.
4K, I don't have a 4K TV either.
You've got something even more expensive than a 4K TV.
Who has?
Aaron. You've got a 4K monitor.
That was cheaper than the 4K TV.
A 4K monitor's cheaper than a TV?
Yeah.
Nah, 4K monitors are much more expensive than TVs.
A 4K monitor costs about £200.
So what it costs these days?
Hmm.
That's the last thing.
A 4K TV costs a lot more than £200.
I bet you anything they don't these days.
Well, they're about £350, I think. Because you can't get anything smaller than 44-inch. That's the problem with the TVs.
Can you not?
No. If you want a 4K TV, 44, I think, is the smallest you can get.
They don't do, like...
they don't do small...
36-inch style 4Ks,
no.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Mainly because it's not really worth it.
Right, because you're sitting so far back.
Because you're sitting so far back. If it's that small a TV, you won't get the benefit of 4K.
Right.
You've got to have really good vision to actually notice the difference anyway.
And 1080p on a 1080 English. Let's try using some 1080 on a 50 or 60 inch TV. Looks fucking appalling.
Does it?
Have you not sat and looked at like a 1080 picture on a massive TV?
No.
It can look a bit ropey, yeah.
It gets, the bigger the TV, the ropier the picture gets.
Yeah.
Because obviously you've only got so many pixels, and those pixels are getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
It's like trying to do digital zoom on a photograph. It only goes so far before it looks like crap.
Although yeah, the dithering of pixels gets less and less.
Although they've now got to 8K now, haven't they?
Yeah, try 16. There are 16K screens going around in Japan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You sound shocked.
Yeah.
Why?
Just didn't think it had already got to that stage.
Oh, yeah.
It's only twice as wide and twice as deep.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because we're not measuring lines anymore. 1080p was lines, isn't it? But 4K is actual resolution. Actual pixels.
We're getting back into circuit making territory now.
Yeah. So there, yeah. So you're So if we're going 720 to 1080, or, you know, you were increasing quite a lot there, but yeah, going from 2K to 4K isn't as big a jump. Obviously, 4 to 16 is just double the width and double the height. So that's how you get your four times. But yeah.
Yeah, that's what console I would do. Just say go big or go home. Get the best console you can afford because it will cover you for as long as possible. And go that way. Aaron, you mentioned Oculus Con or whatever they called it.
Oculus Connect, yes.
Tell us, what was announced? What was
Well, they're releasing a new standalone headset.
Okay.
Which is effectively you know, their Samsung, they're partnered with Samsung at the moment to do their Gear VR.
Gear VR.
Yeah.
Effectively, they're making one of those that is all in one. So it's a built-in phone. Well, it's not a phone. It's an Android device inside a headset with speakers, stereo speakers built in. And it's got a controller with it.
So what you're saying is that they're building a HoloLens before Microsoft could?
Well, no, because it's VR, it's not AR.
Shh, I'm just trying to wind Dave up, see if he bites.
Nope, not going to bite.
So that's out next year, and it's £200.
That's not a bad price.
That's a pretty good price. I mean,
well, sorry, $200.
What sort of screen's going to be in that, though?
It's an LCD screen. It's a 2K screen.
Oh, that's not that bad then.
1080 per eye, essentially.
Something like that, yeah.
That's how this works, doesn't it? With
well, sort VR. Of, but it'll be it'll be 2K screen across two eyes, yeah. But obviously, they're square, so you get the 1440 down by whatever half of the I can't remember what the width of 2K is, but yeah. So, but yeah, because I've listened to the John Carmack presentation the following day, and he goes through all the downfalls and benefits of each technology and goes into pixel densities and all sorts.
That's really interesting. So you wanted to
basically, he says, this is why we picked an LCD screen over an OLED. It was about the price. These are the trade-off. This is why we pick Fresnel lenses. This is why this, and this is what the benefits and risks we have. And yeah, basically, he says $200 was what they were hitting. They had to hit $200. Well, $199.
In terms of this new one.
Yes. So that's the whole point.
For a standalone headset, you can't argue for that at a price.
Yeah.
Because no. It's basically a phone in a box. Whereas your box play costs you about $50-$40 on its own, and a phone can cost you
lots.
Considerably more.
But yeah, as they said, it's their operating system. It's running Android, so everything that will run on a Gear VR will run on this. That's the idea.
Okay.
Right.
So basically, people should still make games for the Gear VR, but now they've got this new platform to sell to.
Okay.
And yeah, it'll just run those, but because they own everything above Android onwards, all the drivers and stuff, they can patch it however they want, they can make all the optimizations they want, and run it as smooth as they want. Because they said that the frustrations are with getting all the drivers running, because they have to get it past Google, the Samsung, and the carrier before they're allowed to release a new driver update to the phone.
Right. So it just means they can be more slick.
It means that they can release within 2 weeks, he says.
They've appled it, basically.
Yeah.
Cut out all middlemen and says, no, this is what we're doing, this is how it is, and that's going live now.
Yeah, so next year, so November is when developers get it, and next year it's going to the public at $200. Santa Cruz, which is their new headset.
That's the Rift 2.
Sort of. It's another all-in-one.
Yeah.
So it doesn't require a PC.
Oh, right. I thought they were going to do wireless tether to the PC.
I don't know. Maybe it will do that. but it has got a processing box on the back of it.
Okay.
That will allow it to run, and it's inside out tracking, and two new controllers, touch controllers.
Okay. Well, as in the same as the current touch, or new as in
no new as design. In different. Yeah, redesigned. Okay. It's got a trackpad like the Vive.
That's interesting that they lost the analog stick. Why?
Because I don't know. I don't know. They didn't say why, but then they said it was a positive. I don't know, because I like the analog sticks.
Mm, yeah, very happy.
Seems like an analog stick could be easier to find when you can't see what you're looking at.
Yeah. I'm a good James.
Although it's a trackpad, it's just where your thumb rests. So yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so you've got less buttons on these controllers. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Right.
Because obviously, yeah, you've not got the sticks, you've got trackpads, and you've got two buttons on each controller and two triggers. So you've got the grip and the trigger. But yeah, but they said they've got four cameras on the headset, and they can do quite good vision behind you for tracking your hands. So they showed the cone. It doesn't go directly behind you, but it does go quite a way.
Will it track
head.
You enough to so you could draw a bow and arrow, essentially?
I don't know, because obviously if you draw it close to... You should do, because you're drawing close to your head. What it might not do is if you've got a back quiver, if you put your hand behind your head, obviously it may occlude behind your head.
Right.
So, and it probably won't go behind your head or round that far. So if you're going down backwards, it may lose it, but then it may approximate and it may not matter. It may matter to somebody looking at you, but it won't matter to you because you won't be able to see it.
That makes sense.
Is the thing. I don't know. I'm a bit dubious about inside out tracking. I like nice determined tracking, but if you're doing a non-PC, non-static PC-based device that you want to be able to work in any room, inside out's your best bet.
I think inside out's going to be the only way you can do an all-in-one device, isn't it? You won't be able to have wireless boxes connected outside, because that's just going to cause latency.
Well, no, in theory, you could put some reference points around the room that then broadcast into the room so that you could then track it from the devices and have cameras on every device. But that's just really expensive.
Yeah, I'm liking cheap at the minute.
Yes.
Cheap sounding good.
Yeah, so...
It needs to be cheap to get mass market.
Yes. So I don't know how much... They didn't announce a price for Santa Cruz.
Okay.
So no, that's...
They announced like a ballpark price?
No. It's out next year.
Because currently the Rift at $399 is ridiculous value.
So I suspect it'll be
is
that
it still
price.
At $399?
Yeah, that's the permanent price now.
With the touch controllers.
I was going to say, that was supposed to be a summer sale on it.
Yeah, but they announced at the Kinect that that's their permanent price.
I may have just found myself a new Christmas present. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then they also went on to... They did all sorts of different other things. But there's a new thing called Oculus Dash coming.
Okay.
Which is a pop-up dashboard that overlays within your VR environment.
Well, that's not as much fun as I thought it was going to be. I would have been for, like, you got a wireless Oculus Rift and you're doing a 100-meter dash.
No. It's a dashboard that appears over. And what you can do, effectively, is bring YouTube or Netflix or other apps into your VR world to play alongside your current experience.
Oh, so you mean a bit like Facebook Rooms, where you can have the video floating while you're chatting?
Yes, but in any game.
So basically it's like
a web browser or something.
It's like having a second screen for your PC where you've got YouTube going off beside you while you're wandering around in World of Warcraft doing all your deals.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, I like it because then I can have Elite Dangerous. And if I'm doing a long hauling run to Hutton Orbital that takes about an hour in real time, I could have a web page or a YouTube video playing or whatever in a little window.
Or, in a more real-world application, which you know someone's going to do this. While you've got your porn video playing on this side, you can be FaceTiming with your wife on the other side. And she'll never know.
Unless she's wearing a Rift and it's a shared experience thing.
Yeah, well, at that point, you're either getting divorced or you've married a good one.
Well, that's a point. They did announce venues as well.
Venues?
Which is effectively spaces, but with live video from a concert.
Okay.
Or some event. So effectively, they're doing... I think they did a Coldplay gig or something for the...
That was something they've always said they wanted to do, wasn't it?
Yeah, mass suicide in a concert in VR.
So yeah, basically, they said they're going to start doing venues. So they're going to have it so that you can go into a venue and it'll be a virtual venue that you and your mates can be in as a social thing.
Right.
And effectively, they're building a social platform that you can tag into your games. So you can bring social, you know, this Facebook social into your games in VR.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, and they're upgrading avatars and things and loads of other things. Homes changing.
What are they doing with home? Can you actually recenter the damn thing now?
Well, you can move all the windows around and do what you want with it.
Oh, brilliant.
It's effectively like a desktop environment.
And you can tell it which way is north type thing, so you can move the room to the way you want.
I don't know about that.
Which is just one of the bizarre things they've never put in.
Yes, I know. What you have to do is you have to reset the Rift in order to get that to recenter. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know why they've done that.
No.
Was there anything else from OcuCon?
There was some stuff about games and stuff, but I didn't write any of that down. So,
no, that was it. That's all they covered.
Okay.
Last question for the show.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll make it the last
one. No more questions.
No, this is going to be the very last topic that we're going to talk about for the show.
You've rephrased that quite well,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, I thought I did one. If you had to pick one PC gaming controller, what would you pick and why?
Xbox One Elite is literally the perfect controller.
Okay, I'm really glad you said that, because that will feed in brilliantly to what I want to talk about in a second.
See, I like the touch controllers, but then...
The Oculus controller, because you can put one hand on each armrest and use them like a proper controller.
No, as in to use them as hands.
Okay, all right, let's just stick with 2D screens.
Okay.
Can you use the touch? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I've not tried.
I'm sure someone's going to hack that so you can use them as normal controllers.
Because they are very comfy.
They are really nice to use. I don't know. I don't really use... I only use the Xbox One pad because it's attached to the PC. I do like the HOTAS, though.
Okay. So
that's very situational.
It is. It's very situational, but it suits my gaming habits quite well, given the fact of how much time I spend in Elite Dangerous.
So here's why I'm bringing this up. The PC Gamer this month has got a hardware review, and they're comparing all the different controllers, or they're comparing a bunch of different controllers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they've done. All right, I'm going to.
Are you calling shenanigans on this magazine article now?
Yeah, massive shenanigans, right?
Okay, this could be interesting.
I'll start in the order that we sort of expected to go. Nintendo Switch Pro controller.
Okay, I can see that one.
They said pretty good, but not great. 60%. Right. When all said and done, though, Switch Pro controller isn't just suited. It just isn't suited to PC gaming because it doesn't have proper analog sticks. Proper analog shoulder buttons. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Analog shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
I think they mean triggers.
Triggers.
Oh, triggers. I was going to say shoulder buttons. I thought.
No, triggers.
Who cares? Okay, triggers. Okay, that makes more sense.
Right. The DualShock 4 controller.
Okay.
This is their synopsis paragraph. The single biggest thing to note about Sony's official PS4 controller is its lack of full native Windows support. This is the main factor in why many gamers bypass it. However, jump through a few hoops and PC gaming nirvana awaits. Right? Basically, they're saying that it's the best controller they've ever tried because it brings full Bluetooth support and you can use the controller's trackpad as a mouse. It's really nice controller to use. The larger, more angled D-pad is easier to feel your way around. And the analog sticks are larger and have a slightly stiffer action. But still have a smooth transition towards the center. The only caveat is the battery, and you have to dismantle the
controller. Yeah, as in it hasn't got one.
Okay, so they've given it 90%. Okay, that's okay. DualShock 4. Right. Xbox One controller. This is the regular one.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft's Xbox One controller is the de facto choice for a PC gaming controller thanks to extensive support across the entire Windows gaming system. Luckily, it's a great pad. So it offers both wired and wireless via Bluetooth connectivity with the option to use AA batteries or a rechargeable battery pack.
Mm-hmm.
It includes a headphone jack. It's very, very comfortable. The buttons respond crisply. He doesn't like the D-pad, and he didn't love the feel or the resistance on the analog sticks. Right, so he's given that 85%.
Okay.
Xbox One Elite.
Hold on a minute. He's given that less than the PlayStation One by 5%.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry, I'm just checking because I was trying to find my original Xbox controller.
Yep, he's given that less than the PlayStation One because he doesn't like the D-pad. He doesn't like the resistance on the analog sticks.
Okay.
I get that. That's a subjective thing.
Yeah, it's personal preference.
5% fair enough. Right. Yeah. Xbox One Elite, which most people do consider to be the best controller around.
Best controller that's ever been made.
Yeah, well, here we go. If you were to design a premium Xbox One controller, there is little else that you could ask for that hasn't been included in the Elite. This is the ultimate premium gamepad, but it comes at a premium price. Then he talks about all the features. He says the D-pad and the analog stick caps can be swapped out and swapped for alternatives, so you get all sorts of varieties. The paddles offer four extra buttons that can be accentuated by your fingers, and if you find they get in the way, they can just be removed. Headphone jacks, hair trigger switches, everything. The upshot is the controller feels like a really nice upgrade. The ergonomics of the DualShock 4 still swing it for me, but in almost every other regard, the Elite is the ultimate PC gaming controller. What percentage score do you think the reviewer has attached to that?
82.
75.
So he's saying it's better than an Xbox One controller, but it scores less than an Xbox.
It's worse than both an Xbox One controller and a DualShock 4.
I won't know. He's smoking.
In fact, it's worse than the Speedlink Xeox, which is £20.
Has he just marked it down because it's expensive?
Probably, yeah.
As far as I can tell, he's marked it down because it's expensive and it's an Xbox One controller and he prefers the PS4 controller.
So a Razer mouse would score less when you're reviewing gaming mice because it's expensive?
I don't know. I genuinely can't see, like, a legitimate reason
well,
for...
Well, that's probably the only reason that he's done it, then. It's price. It's value for money.
The Xbox One Elite controller is only £40 more expensive than a... Well, it's Nintendo Switch Pro controller.
At the moment, you can pick it up for £100, including Forza Motorsport 7.
Yeah. However...
Weren't they 150 to start with?
120.
Okay.
Started off at 120, they've dropped £20. But it's the only controller you can buy that you can customise to fit your own preferences. Every other controller, you get what you're given.
Yeah, I just don't understand that using a trackpad for a mouse and the shape of a D-pad and what games actually use D-pads can be worth 15%.
If he's using a D-pad, you're probably either a platform gaming fan or a fight gaming fan. And I would hazard a guess...
that he shouldn't be playing on the PC if he's either of those.
No. He's entitled to play on a PC. We're not going to get exclusionist about this.
Right.
However, I would hazard a guess that he has grown up with a PlayStation 1, a PlayStation 2, and a PlayStation 3, which means he has a natural tendency to prefer the PlayStation pad.
Mm.
Which is, I'm the opposite. I've played all the PlayStations. However, I prefer the Xbox pad because it just makes more sense. It's comfortable for me to hold. I cannot hold a PlayStation pad.
I see. I'd
because
prefer PlayStation.
I keep smacking my goddamn fingers together.
I can hold both. I prefer the position of the analog stick, but I prefer the overall hold of the PlayStation pad. So I prefer the analog sticks in the Xbox.
You see, I prefer PlayStation because that's what I've grown up with.
Right.
I've always had PlayStation first.
It's a bit dinky. It is very small, the PlayStation control pad.
It is, but you get used to how to hold it.
Yes, you do.
That's the thing. But I think the main bugbear that I'd put on that is that if you actually just review those controllers based on the quality of the controller
and what they offer,
you look at the Xbox One Elite controller and go, it makes everything else look like a cheap toy.
Yeah. And a not cheap toy at that.
It's 40... It's 50 quid more expensive than a DualShock 4. So it's probably the same difference between that and an Xbox One controller.
Yeah.
But it really does make them feel like cheap, tacky toys.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, I'm in a position where I'd rather get an Elite controller than I would do X.
Mm. I know people that bought an entire console just to get that controller.
Or in a bundle or something.
Yeah, you could buy the Elite bundle that came with the console and the controller, and people would buy that just for the controller and sell the console.
Right.
But this is personal preference. Yeah, I don't get how you can rate the Elite controller a lower review score than the original Xbox controller, because it's literally a superior controller.
Yeah.
The better controller scores less because it's better.
Yeah, well, it depends what your audience is. If it's a recommendation for people to buy, then maybe they're taking
price... But
this
is also a recommendation for PC gamers, and he said in his article that it's easier to use the Xbox controllers than it is the PlayStation ones. If you're going to say his audience is PC games, well, they're going to want a product that works, not one that you have to jump through hoops to get to work.
And if
I'm not
PC
sure you do
hoops,
though. Now,
no, I don't think you do either. I think you can just plug it in.
Well, on Steam at least, Steam supports PS4 now, so it's not. But a lot of those magazines do mark down for price, so I don't know. Maybe that's.
It's the first time I've sort of looked at a review in a magazine and gone, hang on a minute.
Yeah, but I don't. Reviews, I don't look at review scores. You look at the words. You've got to look at the words. Because it's all about the words. It's not about
unless
the
it explains what factors went into basing to coming up with those scores.
Yeah.
You know, what empirical data was used to generate this score. It's meaningless.
Yeah,
if there's no measurements to base a score.
No, I know, and that's why I do quite like the Eurogamer's new system, or recommended or not recommended.
What, a sweet and a animal?
Well, that's our review system.
Well, you never know, it might catch on, they might nick it, wonder.
Our review system is the best thing in the world, because on the one hand, mocks review scoring, and on the other hand, actually gives people something that they might, you know, grip onto. So if they do like, I don't know, an avocado skiing, then they might like that game.
But would an avocado skiing be a 10 out of 10 game?
But that depends if you like avocado skiing or not. That's the beauty of the review system, because it's.
I like avocados and I like skiing.
Yep. So you'd like games that I review as an avocado skiing.
I don't know. Maybe not together. I've never tried eating an avocado while I was skiing.
Should do.
This is a life-changing experience, is it?
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the end of the show. James, where can people follow you and your adventures on social media?
I was going to say on Twitch, but no. Social media is on Twitter, at Sullyspur.
And Aaron, where can I follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
And you can follow me at FlyShyes, FLEICHYY.
Probably don't want to, though. It's a bit boring.
You can follow the entire show over at The Loopcasters. You can email us, theloopcasters@hotmail.com. You can follow Cy over at UKPG Deals, and you can follow Anna over at Miss Lelujo. I don't know if they're still hosting the show or not, because everything's a bit up in the air with those two, but we're sorting it out. So until next week, it's a bye-bye from me, and it's a bye-bye from them.
Bye.
Bye.
And James, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we hope you come back.